2 Samuel chapter number 7. Thank you so much for coming. It's great to have so many people here back on a Sunday night. Hungry for the Word, right? You're hungry for the Word? All right, good. 2 Samuel 7. I really just want you to know that I appreciate it. I appreciate your faithfulness. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And while you're turning there, have you ever been in a situation where there's absolutely no possible reason why you shouldn't be exhausted and go to sleep, but you can't go to sleep? Man, isn't that aggravating? That's what happened to me last night. Brother Rob said, go to teen camp. Last night, we got back at 1 in the morning from Halifax, and it's like, I should have been exhausted. And I laid there and couldn't go to sleep. And of course, it makes it worse when your wife's over there sleeping away, you know. You couldn't sleep either, could you? But I don't think I went to bed till 3 in the morning, I think. I finally dozed off about 3. I told the 11 o'clock crowd that, and I said, now, if I said anything off the wall, just don't hold me accountable, all right? Oh, mercy. But I've just enjoyed today so much. I've enjoyed teaching the Word. I enjoyed 2 Samuel chapter number 10, where we studied about the ambassadors that David sent out. And tonight I want to go back to chapter 7 again for the third time, actually the fourth. And it's our third study on the Davidic covenant. It's actually our fourth message out of 2 Samuel chapter 7. Because this chapter contains one of the most important covenants in the whole Bible. God made the covenant with King David, and so it's called the Davidic covenant. The covenant itself has eternal ramifications. The word forever is used 9 times in this chapter. So that lets you know that this covenant's going to go beyond David's life. It's going to go way out into eternity, the ramifications of this. The entire prophetic program hinges on this covenant right here. It's very, very important that you understand it. God actually takes, he boils down the promises to David in verse 16, if you'll look at it with me. He makes David basically 3 promises here and makes a covenant with David. And there's 3 promises here. Look at verse number 16. He says, "In thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." Now, notice he used the word forever there twice in that verse. He says, there's 3 eternal things I'm going to do for you, David. And we'll bring up the chart here that we started to fill in here. And as we bring up the chart here, he said, I'm promising you 3 eternal things, David. I'm making a covenant with you. And I'm promising you, God said, I'm promising you 3 things, David. Number 1, you're going to have an eternal house, which we explained what that meant. Your house meant your seed, your seed line, your line of descent. So he said, I'm going to give you, number 1, go ahead and bring that up. I'm going to give you an eternal seed, David. Your seed, it's never going to be cut off. It's going to continue forever. Number 2, look at verse 16. He said, thine house. And then what's the second thing he promised him there? An eternal kingdom. And then what's the third thing? A throne. So let's go ahead and bring those both up. He said, I'm going to give you an eternal kingdom. It's going to be established forever. This kingdom is going to stretch out into eternity. And that, you know, if your seed sins and they disobey me, David, I may bring chastisement upon them, but I'm not going to forget my promise to you. I will end up taking a kingdom from your seed and stretch it out into eternity. There may be a time in there where it's not functioning because of sin, but that doesn't mean I forgot my promise. He said, future tense, it shall be established forever before thee. So I'm going to give you an eternal seed. That seed is going to have an eternal kingdom. And then number 3, that kingdom will have a throne. That is, it will have ruling authority over all the earth. And we looked at all the references that have to do with that. So the throne, that ruling authority, may not always be functional, but there'll always be that possibility of restoration. And hey, when I restore it, it's going to be an eternal ruling authority, a ruling throne that will be established forever, forever. So let's learn this. What's the Davidic covenant? Well, the basic Davidic covenant in a nutshell is what? David, I'm going to give you an eternal, say it with me, number one, seat. He said, number two, David, I'm going to give you an eternal throne, some ruling authority. And number three, I'm going to give you an eternal what? Kingdom. So this is the crux of the Davidic covenant. Now, we studied all those in detail, so we're not going to go back and do that again. But we studied those three things in detail, and we looked at cross-references, and we looked at those. When Jesus Christ came on the scene on the earth, He came preaching to Israel to repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And He taught them to pray, thy kingdom what? Come. See, so He taught them to pray for the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, He was the King of Israel. And He comes on the scene and basically tells Israel, I'm your long-awaited Messiah. I'm the root of David. I am of the seed of David. I'm the one that's going to allow this to be fulfilled if you'll simply receive me as your Messiah. I'm the King that you've waited for. I was born of the seed of David. Both sides, Mary and Joseph, He came from David. And Jesus was totally qualified to be able to fulfill that. When Jesus Christ resurrected, He appeared for 40 days to different people. He talked to the 12 that He had called and chosen, and who had walked with Him for 3.5 years. And the 12 said to Him right before He left, they said, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to bring that restoration and fulfill the Davidic covenant like has been promised? And Jesus never said He wasn't going to do it. He just said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. I'm not going to reveal to you that, a date and a time. I'm not going to do that, guys. And then He ascends and He leaves. Well, now, when Jesus Christ ascended and left and He went up to heaven, we know that the 12 went out preaching to Israel about this. And the fact that, man, you took the guy that can fulfill all that, Davidic covenant, you took him and you slew him and you hung him on a tree. You killed your Messiah. But Israel, I got good news. He's alive. And he's living. And he's ascended up to the right hand of the Father till he makes his enemies his footstool. So repent, Israel. Repent. Turn to Jesus Christ, your Messiah, and He will come back and He will fulfill that covenant that's been promised to us and to our forefathers. Repent. Let me ask you a question. There in the early part of Acts, when the Spirit-filled disciples went out and they preached that the Messiah had come, but you slew Him, you hung Him on a tree, but He's alive, He's resurrected. You need to repent and turn to Him. Did Israel as a nation do that? Yes or no? They did not. They did not. Instead, they took the disciples and they beat them and they persecuted them and they threatened them and they even took old Stephen and stoned him to death. So, the question is this. If Israel rejected their Messiah who could fulfill those three things, if they rejected Him and said, we don't want Him, then has God forgot His promises? Has God discarded those promises to Israel? And is God done with them and through with them? Yes or no? No, God doesn't forget. When God tells somebody something, aren't you glad He doesn't forget about it? And He doesn't go back on His word. And He doesn't change His mind. When God says forever, Like I said, it's not like me and you sitting at a stoplight saying, this is taking forever. When God says forever, He means forever. Okay? And so, God hasn't forgot that. There are people who teach, and you know, you've got a lot of mainline Protestant denominations that teach that all these promises right here to David, they're allegorical. You know what that means, right? Just figurative. They're not literal. And they teach that Christ has already fulfilled those three promises. He's already fulfilled the Davidic covenant in that He resurrected and ascended. They say He's sitting on a spiritual throne. So there's the throne. They say He's sitting on a spiritual throne in heaven, and He's ruling over a spiritual kingdom, the church, or he's ruling over human hearts. So there's the throne, they say. And so they say that Jesus Christ was born of the seed of David, but because Israel rejected Him, He abandoned that program. And now we, the church, have replaced Israel. And now He's sitting on a spiritual throne over a spiritual kingdom. We call that the amillennial view. Amillennial. Ah, the prefix ah means not or no. So this belief is, that I just explained to you, is that the kingdom over which Christ rules in fulfillment of the Davidic covenant here is solely a spiritual kingdom. It's not a literal, earthly, political kingdom, but it's just a spiritual kingdom. And amillennial means no millennium, no kingdom. They don't believe there's going to be a literal, political kingdom on the earth, as Revelation describes, about the 1,000 years ruling and reigning on this earth. They say, no, that's figurative, that's allegorical, that's not literal. Even though the term 1,000 years is used 6 times in Revelation 20, they say, no, that's no. And then they even say all of Revelation's already all happened. They say Revelation's all happened. Man, that's all past history. And now He's sitting on a spiritual throne, reigning over a spiritual kingdom. And that's the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. Is that the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant? The Bible's pretty clear, isn't it? Last week, we saw Wednesday night. A lot of you weren't here because of the storms. But the Bible is quite clear that Christ is going to one day, what's He going to do? What'd they say when He left? What the two angels tell the 12? They said that as you have seen Him go away, in like manner He's going to what? He's going to return. Well, when He left the earth and went to heaven. So if He's going to come back in like manner, that means He's going to leave heaven and come where? To earth. He's going to come back down to the earth. He's going to establish a physical earthly kingdom. We call that the premillennial view. Not amillennial means no kingdom. There's not going to be a millennial kingdom. Premillennial, pre means before. So premillennial, we believe Christ will return to the earth before the kingdom of God comes to the earth. We believe He will return. When He returns to the earth, He comes for the purpose of establishing the kingdom on earth. Premillennial, He'll return before and then establish the kingdom. If you look up here at the chart, we'll go ahead and hit the next click. And you notice the arrow, He went up to heaven. He ascended to heaven, where He is now. And then the arrow comes down. So Christ, the seed of David, returns. Revelation 5:5 calls Him the root of David. He comes back down to the earth. And if you hit the next click, Christ sits. Matthew 25 said He's going to sit on the throne of His glory. And then if you go to the next click, the Bible says that He is going to sit on the throne of His glory. He's going to gather the nations. He's going to rule them with a rod of iron. That's that throne, that kingdom. So you got the throne, you got the kingdom over all the earth, and then you have the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. So my question is this. Has Christ fulfilled the Davidic covenant yet? Yes or no? No. Are we still going to see it fulfilled in the future? Yes. Last week, or I keep saying last week, well, I guess it was last week, Wednesday night, Peter believed that Christ would return. He said that the heavens have to receive him. Look up here. He said the heavens have to receive Christ until the times of restitution. He says, and he shall send Christ. He'll bring the times of refreshing to the earth. He'll bring the times of restitution to the earth. He's going to lift the curse and he's going to come and reign. Peter believed that Christ would come back to the earth. Christ himself, did Jesus believe he would come back and reign over a literal kingdom? He sure did. He said that all the earth's going to see me return in the clouds of glory. And he said, man, I'm going to come back. Everyone's going to see me. Every eye shall see me. He said, I'm going to come back down to the earth. I'm going to sit on the throne of my glory, Matthew 25. I'm going to gather the nations. I'm going to separate them, the sheep from the goats. He believed he was. The disciples, the 12, did they think that Christ would come back literally and restore a literal kingdom? Yes or no? Yeah, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Why'd they ask that? Well, because he specifically told them. He said, you guys are going to sit in my kingdom on 12 thrones, and you're going to eat and drink with me in my kingdom. Go to Romans chapter 11, and let's see what Paul believed. Paul wrote Romans 11. Romans 9, 10, and 11 is a discussion of basically Israel and the nations. So we have the dispensation of grace. What does that mean for Israel and the nations? And Romans 9, 10, and 11 is a discussion of Israel and the nations. And so Paul's dealing with this issue. What about Israel? What about the nations? Well, if you look here at Romans 11, he said in verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be what? Saved, as it is written." How's it going to happen? "There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my," and there's the reference to the Davidic covenant. He said, this is my what? It's my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So is God done with Israel? Yes or no? He is not. I don't care who. And by the way, anybody who says he is, you know what Paul said? Verse 25, anyone who says God's done with Israel, he said they're conceited and ignorant. Verse 25, "I would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant," he said, "lest you should be wise in your own conceits." Anyone who thinks that God's done with Israel and we've replaced them, they're conceited and ignorant. Now, I didn't say that, Paul did. All right? Now, I just want to spend a few minutes here before we go, and I want to give you what I call the key to understanding the Davidic covenant. The key is rightly dividing God's word, and you have to understand this. God has two distinct and separate programs in your Bible, and both are designed for a special purpose. Now, I'm going to put it on the screen here in a moment, but let me just explain. There are two programs in your Bible. One is what we call the prophetic program. Why is it called that? Because it's been prophesied since the world began. And it involves God's purpose. Listen, the prophetic program involves God's purpose to establish His ruling authority throughout the entire earth. That is the subject of the covenant that God made with David. And it's going to be fulfilled literally through the physical seed of David. We read last week, in fact, I want you to grab two passages and I want to show you something, okay? Now get your Bible and get ready. You got to see this. I want you to grab Acts 3 with your left hand, Acts chapter 3. And if you were in Romans, you're going to go to the right. You're going to go to the left to get Acts. Acts chapter 3, and then you're going to go to the right of Romans and grab Colossians chapter 1. We've been studying that on Wednesday night, the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Let's go to Acts 3 and then go to Colossians 1. Peter is preaching now in Acts 3 to Israel. He's trying to get them to repent of crucifying their Messiah. He says to them in Acts 3:19, look at it with me. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, how long? Since the world began. Now look up here. How long has God been talking about the fact that there would be a king that's going to come back, that's going to reign on this earth, bring the times of restitution to the earth, that is, make things right on this sin-cursed earth? How long has that been being talked about and prophesied? How long? Since the world began. That's the prophetic program. What God's going to do on this earth. We later get more revelation. It's going to be through Israel, through the seed of David specifically. But he's going to, the prophetic program has to do with what he's going to do on this earth. That's what the Davidic covenant's all about. A kingdom, a throne on this earth through a physical seed line on this earth of David. Now, go with me to Colossians chapter number 1. Keep in mind that phrase, since the world began. That's being talked about. Now go to Colossians 1 and look what Paul writes to the church, the body of Christ. He says in verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill or complete the word of God. Now notice the information that Paul got. He calls it even the what? He calls the information that he got the mystery. And then he says that information has been what? Hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Are y'all starting to get this? There are two different programs. There's a prophetic program that's been talked about since the world began, Peter said. Then there's a mystery program that Paul said has been hid. He says it's been kept secret since the world began. The purpose of the prophetic program, remember, it had to do with the earth and God's ruling authority on the earth. The mystery program that God kept a secret, he kept it hid. That has to do with God's purpose of establishing his ruling authority in the heavens. Remember, God, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. His ruling authority must extend to both. So the prophetic program has to do with the earth, that's the Davidic covenant, and it has to do with God establishing authority and throne throughout all the earth. Then you got this mystery program over here that he kept secret, he didn't tell anybody about. And that has to do with God establishing his ruling authority throughout the heavens. Now how is he going to do that? Is he going to establish his authority throughout the heavens through Israel? Well, no, he's going to do that on the earth through Israel, the seed of David. So how is God going to establish his ruling authority throughout the heavens in the ages to come? How is he going to do it? Through us. This new organism he's forming today in this mystery time period called the church, the body of Christ. Believers in this dispensation, we extend Christ's glory throughout the heavenlies in the ages to come. You're in Colossians. Turn back two books to the left. Go to Ephesians. Two books to the left. Ephesians chapter 3. And notice verse 3. Ephesians 3:3. How that by revelation, Paul said, he made known unto me the what? The mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. So God revealed this secret information to Paul. This wasn't prophesied. See, that's a whole different program. He gives Paul this mystery, this hidden information. Then verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, look at this, was not what? It was not made known. See, God kept it a secret. Go back to Ephesians 2 and verse number 6 and notice how that this information has to do with a new organism that God has resurrected. And it says here, he's raised us up together. He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Look at verse 22 up there, chapter 1, verse 22. The Bible says that God's put all things under Christ's feet, and he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Notice we are the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now let me review. And I'm going to go ahead and hit the next click up here. If you look at the bottom here, the covenant he made with David had to do with this prophetic program that was prophesied since the world began. God is now simply going to make some promises involving how he's going to fulfill that prophetic program. And he tells David he's going to do it through his seed. And he's going to establish a Davidic throne and kingdom. Now, the prophetic program here has been talked about. Notice the arrow going back this way since the world began. And notice over here, it has an earthly purpose and an earthly fulfillment. So the earth involves the subject of prophecy. That is Christ one day ruling and reigning over a visible kingdom on a literal earth in Jerusalem. The heavens up here, they would involve the subject of, hit the next click, the heavens involve the subject of the mystery. That is a people whose citizenship is in heaven, blessed with all spiritual blessings in what? Heavenly places in Christ. And so you've got the prophetic program with an earthly purpose. Then you got the mystery program where he's forming this body of Christ today in the time of grace that we talked about this morning. And once this time of grace is over, the whole body of Christ, those who are dead and alive, we are caught up together to meet him in the air. And we are caught up because we have a heavenly purpose. The mystery program involves a heavenly purpose. The prophetic plan involves an earthly purpose. So all of your Bible is basically divided into these two great subjects. That is, prophecy and the mystery. All of your Bible is dealing with one of those two subjects, either the prophetic program or the mystery program. Now, what about this earthly prophetic kingdom program for the earth? It's been temporarily suspended today, right? God, look up here. See that right there? Temporarily what? Notice how this matches this. Notice how these match up. The prophetic program has been temporarily suspended while God is forming a new organism called the church, the body of Christ, with a heavenly purpose. So this earthly program today has been temporarily suspended. This is why Bible teachers get all off base, because they take scriptures dealing with the earthly purpose and program for Israel and they misapply them to today. You see, God's not reclaiming physical land area today. He's not taking over governments today. He's not bringing judgments, physical judgments, like tsunamis, to the earth today. That's not what he's doing today. And so you get teachers that take scriptures that have to do with the prosperity that he's going to give Israel over here when it finally finds its purpose and the Davidic covenant is fulfilled. And it talks about the prosperity that's going to come on the earth and to his people Israel. And then they misapply that to this time period in here, and they convince Christians, if you're not healthy and wealthy, you've been sinning. You know, If you're not living in a new house and have a new car and a big fat bank account, you've been sinning because God's promised you earthly prosperity. Has He? No, He hasn't. Has He for Israel over here? Has He promised Israel earthly prosperity when He comes back down and establishes their kingdom? Yeah. But you see how guys misapply that? And they take scriptures dealing with this over here, and then they put it over here in the mystery program, and then you end up with all kinds of whacked out stuff. All kinds of problems. Look up here. God set Israel aside as a nation at the end of the book of Acts. When that happened, the subject of prophecy ceased. And it's, but look, right now there's an interruption in the prophetic program. There's an interruption. So God's not dealing with the world through Israel. He's not dealing with the world through nations. Today, Christ is establishing a spiritual kingdom within the hearts of individual believers. But He's not establishing an earthly kingdom right now over nations on the earth. That program's been suspended, and He's calling out the body of Christ, and He's instituted a new program, the mystery program, and He gave that information to Paul. And Paul said, man, the stuff I'm giving you, it's been kept secret since the world began. Nobody knew about this. Nobody knew about this time of grace in here. When God set Israel aside right here, and He temporarily suspended their program, He said, I'm going to offer my salvation to all my enemies in the entire world through faith in Christ's shed blood. And any individual in the world can be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And aren't you glad we live in the time of grace, folks? And anyone, anywhere can be reconciled individually. You don't have to go through your government. You don't have to go through me. You don't have to go through a group of people. You can go straight to Jesus Christ and be saved today. But you know what? Here's the deal. We know that this program has been temporarily suspended today, but has God abandoned it and has God entirely scrapped His earthly kingdom program and the earthly promises that He made to David? Has God just kind of scrapped that forever? That's where people get in trouble. See, He's faithful, and He'll fulfill those promises right here in the future. When we're called out and this time period ends, notice it says prophetic plan what? Resumed. It's going to pick right back up. God's going to bring down the wrath on the... And then there will be natural disasters that are divine. Then you will see catastrophic events straight from the hand of God. That He's going to pour out wrath on this earth because the prophetic program's been resumed. 7 years later, Christ, 7 years, right here is 7 years. 7 years later, Christ comes all the way back down to the earth, and that's when that Davidic covenant will be fulfilled on the earth. He's going to reign over a kingdom. He's going to sit on the Davidic throne, just like He said He would in 2 Samuel 7. We'll end with this. Go to Romans 14 and Luke 22. Romans 14 and Luke 22. Grab those two passages. Romans 14 and Luke 22. If you don't understand about these two programs, the prophetic program that's been talked about since the world began, the mystery program that we're living in today, this new organism He's forming called the Church, the Body of Christ. If you don't understand these two programs in your Bible, you are going to be as confused, like they say, you're going to be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. When you read things like Luke, look at Luke 22, 29. Luke 22, 29. And I appoint unto you a kingdom. That's what He told the 12. I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. Notice, what are they going to do? They are going to, verse 30 says, that ye may what? Eat and drink at my what? Table. Where? In my kingdom. And He said, you're going to sit on what? Thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So He says, you know what? I've appointed you a kingdom, and man, you're going to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. You're going to sit on literal thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Go to Romans 14. Look what Paul tells the church for the mystery time period that we're living in today. Paul tells the church, the body of Christ, Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of God is not," what? "Meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy," where? When you got saved, what did you get? Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost came to bring righteousness, joy, and peace to your heart. Is that available to you? Have you got the imputed righteousness of Christ? Yes or no? Yes, you do. In your heart. I can't see it. It's a spiritual thing. I can't see it. You can't see it. Nobody can see it. But we know it's there, don't we? Because the Bible tells us. You have peace in the Holy Spirit. You have joy within you at your disposal 24/7. And that's that. The kingdom, the character of God's kingdom is established in your heart individually. He said, it's not something physical today. It's not meat and drink. That's why I tell you all the time, you don't look to physical things to try to judge your blessings. No, you realize He's already blessed me, and He's given me everything I need in Christ spiritually to live and survive on planet Earth. So I don't look, it's not meat and drink. What He's saying there, it's not something physical today, the kingdom. Now listen, I got one verse that tells me you're going to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. I got me another verse that says the kingdom's not meat and drink. So somebody comes to you and says, your Bible has contradictions. One verse says you're going to eat and drink in the kingdom. The other verse says that the kingdom's not meat and drink. Does your Bible have contradictions? Not at all when you rightly divide it. And because when you rightly, that's why I say you got to understand these two programs. Because this program's not meat and drink. Listen, do you think there are believers in this dispensation that have died famished? They've died of starvation. You think so? Yeah. It's not meat and drink today. It's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. But wait a minute. When He told the 12, you're going to eat and drink in my kingdom and sit at my table and sit on 12 thrones, did He mean that? Yeah, and I begin to realize, okay, wait a minute, that has a future fulfillment. When He comes back over here, this time period's ended. He comes back over here, fulfills this prophetic plan, and they are going to sit on thrones. They are going to be on a literal earth. They are going to eat and drink at Christ's table in His kingdom. By rightly, as I recognize the two programs, I can allow both passages to say what they mean and mean what they say without trying to change them or twist them or make them say the same thing. A sixth grader knows they don't say the same thing. Right? Sixth grader knows those are different. So I don't have to feed you a bunch of religious hogwash and try to make everything fit in this little box I've made. No, I begin to understand and realize God's got two programs in that book. And I got to rightly divide them so that I understand these things. And now I'm able to understand it. By simply rightly dividing and recognizing the two programs, we can allow all of Scripture to be interpreted literally. I don't have to allegorize any of it. I don't have to take it figuratively. And like I told you last Wednesday, the reason why religion loves this amillennial approach and they think we've replaced Israel is because now all of a sudden, religion's got to tell you what that Bible means. Because now all of a sudden, you got words like Israel, land, nations, thrones, governments, kings, eat and drink, and you got to try to do something with that to try to make it fit here. So that means someone's got to reinterpret what those words mean. Land doesn't really mean physical land. Well, what does it mean? Guess what? That's left up to the religious leader to tell you what it means. Because the laity, they're not equipped to be able to know these things. You got to come to us and we'll tell you. That's the answer to that. See? No. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let the Bible say what it means and mean what it says. And I'm not going to have to bow down to Mr. Religious Leader to try to tell me what land means. I know what land means. And I know what the word throne means. And I know what the word nations mean. And I know what the word government means. And I know what kings mean. And so I don't need somebody to try to reinvent those words for me and allegorize them and then thereby do away with God's literal promises over here to David. You see, when I recognize the two distinct programs, that there's a mystery program he kept secret, which is what we're in today. There's a prophetic program he's talked about since the world began. And it's temporarily suspended, but it's going to be picked up and fulfilled. Now I can allow all Scripture to be interpreted literally. And you can go to your Bible, and you can read it, and you can understand it. Without some religious clergyman having to tell you what it means. You see, when we get in here and we meet around the Word, whether it's in life groups, whether it's in our assembly in here, when we come in here, you see, you're not coming and bowing down to me as if I'm some religious guru that you can't figure out the Bible unless I tell you what these words mean. No, you know what? If you can understand English and you have an English Bible, you can read it and you can understand it on your own. What we're doing here is we're exhorting each other, we're encouraging each other, and we're all at different levels of understanding. So some of you maybe are lower on down because you haven't been saved as long. So you're still learning and growing. So a lot of the stuff I'm saying, it's like, wow, okay, I'm learning, I'm growing. But the things that I teach from the Bible, it shouldn't be things that you wouldn't be able to figure out on your own by simply reading the Bible. Does that make sense? See, I'm not here to lord over your life. I'm not here to try to say, oh, I got to interpret what these words mean for you. No, it's one thing to define a word. That's fine. We take a word, we define it. Like the word reconciliation this morning, we defined it. All we did was just take a dictionary and define it. That's cool. That's fine. It's one thing to clarify the meaning of a word. It's another thing to take the word and change it. And that's what religion does. They change it. They don't just clarify, they change it. And that's not good. Well, it took us three sessions, but we did it, didn't we? We got through the Davidic covenant. You think y'all understand it now? Give me an amen if you think you got it. All right, we understand it now. We got it. So take the chart home. If you did not get a chart, where are those at? They're at the doors here. And where? The ushers are going to hand them out back here. So if you didn't get a chart, because I know a lot of you couldn't come Wednesday night because of the storms. So if you missed Wednesday night, make sure you get that chart right there in its entirety. You can get a hard copy tonight as you leave. And I encourage you to take it home and study it on your own. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer.